Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We finish our series, Journey to the Cross, with the story of what happened on that great day of Jesus' resurrection. Let's listen now to this special Easter message from Dr. John Neufeld entitled, Sunday, the Journey Ends with a Shout of Triumph.
On that day after Peter and John had left the empty tomb, Mary is left standing beside that tomb. And as she stands there all alone, she simply starts to weep. She can't control the cascade of emotions, the hopelessness and despair she felt rolling over her. And then, still weeping, she looks deeply into the tomb for the first time. She walks right in and finds herself staring at two angels. She's speechless, and they speak. "Why are you weeping?" She begins to explain, "They've taken him away," and then she repeats, "And I don't know where he is." And then suddenly there's another man behind her. She notices him but doesn't even turn around. It must be the gardener. He quietly asks her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she, without as much as looking up, as tears continue to come, answers in the same way again. "They've taken him away. It's now so barren. She has so few words." And then the man says, "Mary." And how often she had heard that voice before. That was the voice that had driven out her 7 demons. That was the voice that had called her to follow him when everyone else rejected her. That was the voice that taught her about the kingdom of God. That was the voice that healed the lame and the blind. That was the voice that assured her that God loved her. That was the voice that had caused her to believe in the first place. Almost as if out of control, she whirls around, and there stands not the gardener, but her Savior, Jesus. And in a voice of devotion, she whispers, for that's all she can do, "Rabboni." It means teacher. I find it fascinating that Jesus revealed himself the way he lived. He showed his glory to those whom he had chosen, and the first person that saw him raised was a despised woman from the fringes of society. Jesus wanted it that way, and he still does. To this day, he calls those whom others easily reject. But again, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Of course, Mary wants to cling to him, but he won't let her. He simply says, "I have not yet ascended to the Father, but you go to my brothers and you tell them what you've just seen." News of Mary's encounter spread, as well as what Peter and John had seen, but most simply don't believe that dead men rise. These were not gullible men. They were hard realists who knew about pain and loss and death. These were not pampered men with weird stories of the life to come. These men had witnessed death often before, and they had seen it now. Jesus was brutalized in front of them. They had lost their courage, and they had lost their faith. Two of them went back to Emmaus, about 10 kilometers from Jerusalem. They had had enough, and as they walked, they were discussing all the things that had happened, and at one point, a man joined them, but somehow, God kept their eyes from recognizing him. And soon the man is explaining from Scripture that the Christ had to be crucified and rise again. It's all quite profound. And they invite him home, for he's so fascinating. And as he joins them for a meal, and as he breaks bread, God opens their eyes, and they realize who he is. How could they not have known? They simply stare. Here is the man who is their Lord, and with that he vanishes. During that same day, Jesus appeared to the other women who had come to the tomb. Also, at some point in that day, Jesus appeared to Peter, just the two of them. Nothing is said about that encounter. Remember, Peter has denied Jesus, and what was said at that time was between the two of them. I can only imagine the healing and the love and the life that was breathed into Peter. And by evening of that amazing Sunday, 10 of the 11 disciples gathered in a locked room for fear of the Jewish religious leaders. They exchanged the amazing events of that day, the story of Mary and the women, Peter's encounter, the two at Emmaus, but the story was still so far out, so utterly fantastic, they couldn't comprehend it. They might have ended the day in doubt and fear, confusion and exhaustion. After all, so much had happened, they just needed time to think about it, get some rest, and form conclusions when they could think more clearly. And then suddenly Jesus was in the room. How did he get in? If the door is locked, perhaps this is some kind of a vision or a ghostly encounter. but he sure looks real. And then he speaks. You think I'm a spirit, an apparition? Do you not believe? Come and see my hands and feet. Feel where the nails were driven in, and see where the spear sliced through my side. Touch me. I'm made of flesh and bones. I am real. And they did. But it was incredible. Is this really happening? Then he said, do you have something to eat? And there he sat down and ate with them. 8 days later, he appeared a second time, this time with Thomas in the room. You remember doubting Thomas. He's simply vocal. You guys are lunatics. And with that, he loudly announces, unless I see the hands and the marks of the nails, unless I place my finger into them and my hand into his side, I will never believe. And again, Jesus enters the room. Go ahead, Thomas. Go ahead. Do what you said you must do. And as nervous, trembling hands search out the crater that the nails carved out, for he is realizing that which is now undeniable, Thomas feels his knees giving way, and he now, on his knees, whispers, my Lord and my God. For the next 40 days, Jesus spent time with them. Once they went fishing, and Jesus made breakfast for them. At that same time, Jesus went for a long walk with Peter and repeatedly asked him, Peter, do you love me? It broke Peter's heart, but Jesus wanted Peter to understand the ministry he was entrusting to him and the suffering he would be required to undergo. He would reinstate Peter, give him dignity, and assure him of his love and the cause for which he must now live. Once Jesus met with his brother James, who had never believed in him throughout Jesus' entire ministry, and James, like Thomas, came to believe and actually became a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Once he actually preached to a crowd of 500, and they never forgot it as long as they live. And finally, he gathered all of them on the mountain in Galilee and gave them the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that's how you get a Christian church. And that's how you get a Christian faith. People have been preaching this account of Jesus, and people have been believing in him. And they have received the same life that raised him from the dead. It's called the new birth, in which the life of the kingdom of heaven is imparted to them. It gives them hope and meaning and a future and a fearless disregard of the terror of death. And with that, he was taken up to heaven with a promise that he would return. And when he does, the earth will be his. Those who reject him will look up and they will mourn. And those who delight in him and are instructed, lift up your head, for your redemption is at hand. Now, this is the Easter story. It's safe to say that there is simply no account in all of human history like this one. But what you have heard is exactly what happened. It is true. For it was witnessed by many, and it was recorded by four eyewitnesses, and it has transformed millions and millions and millions of people for 2,000 years. For it happened in real history with real people who had real doubts just the way we do. And these real people came to believe, people very much like you. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever believed? Perhaps you've never heard this story before, the way it's been retold. And perhaps now you're saying for the first time, I understand. I know what this is all about. I know that Jesus is the Christ, and I know that he's the Son of God. And I know that he came on a cross and died for my sins, and I know he proved who he was by rising from the dead and demonstrating that he is alive forever. And for the first time, I've come to see. And I'd like to believe. And if that's you, Easter would be a wonderful time for you to become a believer in Jesus Christ. Ever after this moment, you would always remember it was at Easter that I gave my life to Christ. It was at Easter that my life was actually changed. So I'm going to invite you to pause with me and simply pray a prayer. And the prayer will go like this. Lord Jesus, I've come to understand who you actually are. You are God come to us in human flesh. You came with an amazing ministry that I've never understood until now. But I want to tell you that I do understand and I do believe. Thank you for showing it to me. Lord, I now surrender my life into your hands. Would that same life that raised Jesus from the dead also be infused into me? Here I am. Make me your servant. I ask you, transform my life so that I could take your hand and that you would lead me through this life and also into the life to come. Thank you for the way, the truth, and the life. I believe. Amen. If that's your prayer, I want to encourage you, make sure that you find a local church that teaches the Bible and become a part of that. God bless you and have a blessed Easter.
What a fitting conclusion to our journey of Easter together. My hope is that this final message has deeply encouraged and inspired you as we remember the centrality of the resurrection, which is the very foundation and the power of our faith. Whatever season we find ourselves in, whether it's a time of blessing or trials, the message of the cross has the power to transform our hearts and minds as we focus on Jesus and all that He has done for us. So let His life and His words give us strength and shape us to be more like Him. And listen to the next week on our series called The Time of Your Life. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. By now, many of you have probably heard or received our Bible teaching resource called Confident Living Magazine. This is sent once in 2 months. This magazine offers even more engaging Bible teaching articles from qualified Bible teachers and writers. It has articles that are relevant to life and exclusive updates on the ministry of Back to the Bible. The magazine addresses on difficult issues of life and your journey with God. If you have not asked for your copy of Confident Living Magazine, then don't delay. So be sure to ask for your personal copy. Call us at 9492-440070. Call us at 9492-440070. Or send your request by email info@backtothebible.in.